This morning, Hebrews chapter 4. I really enjoy when I can get down on the floor and wander around a little bit, but my notes are just complicated enough. I need to stay up here and read them today, so I'm not going to do that. I want to mention to you while you're turning to Hebrews chapter 4 that there is a new church directory that's been printed. It is back there on the sound booth, and all the data came from me, so if there's an error, it's my fault. Someone else printed them, but if you see something wrong in there, let us know and we'll fix it. And if your name is not in there and you want to be a member of our church, we can fix that too. Amen? You ought to be a member of a church. When the Lord comes back one of these days, that's going to be something that you're going to really be glad you did, was find a church and stay faithful to it. So Hebrews chapter 4, might be one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Hebrews 4:16. Now, when you start reading at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to do that for you here in just a minute, he talks about a subject which is near and dear to our hearts, especially as we grow older. It is the subject of rest. Don't you like to get to rest? What time did y'all go to bed Friday night, Brother Mendez?
We didn't.
Seriously?
4 in the morning.
Oh, all right. I should have told you this last Sunday. All right. I had a youth camp that I went to one time, and I was a teenage counselor several years in a row. I was a counselor for the teenage boys. The first year I was there, at 16, I had 16 boys in my cabin, and that was the one I was telling Mrs. Dahlman the story earlier tonight, where the very first night I was there, I was ready for them. I was wearing a black sweatshirt, black sweatpants, black socks. And as soon as they turned the lights out to go to sleep, I snuck out of my bunk and I came over to the wall of the cabin and just crouched up against the wall and just sat there quietly. And so it didn't take long, and one of them flashed his flashlight on just for a second and off. And it was real quiet. And then the flashlight went on and off again real quick, and it was real quiet. And one of the boys said, "Where is he?" Another one said, "He's not in his bunk." And they knew the door hadn't opened. Now what are you going to do? So the last night of camp is when it's always the worst. The kids want to get out of their cabins and run around in the woods and play and get in trouble and so on. So the last night, I was exhausted. I just went to sleep. And the next morning, the boys came to me and they said, "Pastor, we saw you watching us in the woods. We knew you were there. You didn't know it, but we knew you were there. So we didn't do anything bad last night." Amen. I slept like a baby all night long. It was wonderful. Yeah. Folks, God's watching over us. Amen?
Amen?
Everything's okay. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm just going to read a couple of verses at the beginning of the chapter and then jump down to verses 14 through 16. But I want you to see the whole chapter so you know what the Lord's trying to show us. And he begins chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Let us therefore fear," that's interesting, "lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And let me just paraphrase that. Faith is where you find rest. Now we come down to verse 14. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God,
Amen.
Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me read that last verse again and we're going to pray. Let us therefore, because we have such a high priest, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning I thank you for each soul who is able to attend this worship service and to hear the word of God read. And I pray this morning that the word of God would go forth with great power, not because I have power, but because you have power, because the word of God has power. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these dear people. We thank you for their love for you, their love for one another. I thank you for the fact that they would take time to remember me today, and I know that you'll reward them for that one day. But I just thank you for what we have in our hands, the precious Word of God, which has the answers to all of our questions, all of our problems. And if we'll believe it, if we'll mix the Word with faith, it will give us rest. Thank you that we do not need a man to stand before us today and call himself a priest. Thank you that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our priest, the only priest that we need. Father, I pray for each person here today that they would hear the word of God, understand it, and then if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ, that they would meet him today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, don't need to turn there, I'll read it for you, says this. It says, there is one God, amen? Not many gods, not a plurality of gods. There's one God, and by the way, 1 John tells us that that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's one God. But it goes on, and he says this, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. In Maryland, on occasion, I had the responsibility, I suppose you'd call it, of going to court and hearing maybe a family dispute. Maybe mom and dad have gotten divorced and they're fussing over who gets to have the kids on a certain weekend or something like that. And quite often what the judge would say is, have you met with a mediator yet? Well, they'd say, we haven't done that. The judge would say, well, we have a mediator right here. And what I want you to do is, I want you to go to that counseling room or that room over there and meet with the mediator and see if you can come to an agreement. Rather than taking 2 hours of the judge's time dealing with all the minutiae and the little details of the case, they would send them off and the mediator would talk to both of them and try to find an agreement. And if they could find one, they'd come back to the judge and they would say, Your Honor, we have an agreement. They'd read it to the judge. The judge would approve it and the case would be settled. You and I have offended the God of heaven. We have offended him by our sin. Folks, sin offends God. God is holy. And when we sin, there is a grievance. There is a disagreement. There is, if you will, an argument between God and between us. But I'm glad it doesn't stop there. We have a mediator. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are a born-again Christian, we were picking up children on the bus this morning, and some people came out of an apartment, and they were wearing nice clothes and carrying a Bible. And it's Sunday. You haven't got to be a rocket scientist to figure out they're going to church, amen? And I asked them, I said, what church are you going to? And they told me the name of the church. And I said, well, are you born again Christians? And the fellow says, is there any other kind? I said, no. There are people that say they're Christians, but they're not born again. But you can't be Christ-like unless you're born again, amen? When we offend God, if you are a born-again Christian, if you have Christ living in your heart, if you've received him as your Savior, you have a mediator. An advocate, the Bible calls him. An advocate, that's another word for lawyer. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And when you and I sin against God as born-again Christians, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, I believe it is, in verse 9, if we confess our sins to God, not to a man, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, comes before the Father and he says, I've settled this dispute. I have given my life. I have shed my blood to pay for that sin. Amen? I want to ask you a question this morning. Think about it. Don't answer out loud. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Now, if I was to ask you, for those of you that are married, are you right with your spouse, with your husband or your wife? I hope we'd all say yes. Amen? Amen? You know what I mean. Is there an unsettled grievance? Is there something, some offense, something that you have done that has caused them to be angry with you or to be at odds with you? And if there is, I can tell you this, as a man who's been married for a while, you ought to make that right. But what about if there's an offense between you and God? It's good to know you can make it right. Now, don't assume, first of all, know this. If you're here today and you've received Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. But that does not mean that we can willfully sin against God and not have him deal with it. It's just like, if you have children, once you have a child, they're your child for life. But if they sin against you, if they commit an offense, you deal with that. You bring that offense to the forefront and you discuss that with them. And if necessary, you teach them why they shouldn't do that. And you may have to punish them for it to try to help them to live a better life. And God does the same thing with you and I. When we sin, he deals with our sin. He doesn't reject us and cast us out and make us no longer be his child. But he wants to make things right with us. And even when things aren't right with us, he still loves us. So in Hebrews, and the book is a long book, it's a very exciting book. Chapter 4 explains to us that it is not our works, it is not what we do that makes things right with God, it's what Jesus did. Amen. Someone says, well, Pastor, if I do certain things, God will forgive me. Maybe if I partake of the Lord's Supper, or maybe if I give him some money, or maybe if I sacrifice somehow and serve him in some ministry, that'll make things right. It will not. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Amen. To be at rest, as Hebrews chapter 4 describes rest, is to know that and to trust it. And that feels good, because now what we can think to ourselves is, and know in our heart is, it's not because I am good that my sins are forgiven, but it is because Christ is righteous that my sins are forgiven. If you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, there's a rest that goes along with that. I no longer have to worry about whether I'll spend eternity in heaven or in hell. A lot of folks think that you're saved by doing good works, but the question is, how many good works would it take to overcome a certain amount of sins? And who knows what their sins are? And what if you got to heaven and they put your good works on the scale, and they put your sins on the scale, and it wobbled. It kind of reminded me of the VBS penny offering a little bit, you know? And then the sin side won. And they said, well, this one goes to hell. It's not that way. I'm glad it's not, amen? Because you see, when I got Christ on my side, it doesn't matter how much sin there is over here. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The sin's all gone. The sin side is empty. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here we are on Sunday, 2019. And the question is, what about right now? Well, I want you to know, you can be right with God. He wants to be right with you. And to be right with God is not the subject of the message, but it does matter because since we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest, He deals with our sin. Let me ask you this question. Why wouldn't God bless somebody? Why wouldn't God bless a church? Why wouldn't God bless a person or a missionary or a father or a mother? Why wouldn't God bless them? Why would God withhold blessings? And I'll tell you one good answer. It gets our attention when God withholds blessings, doesn't it? When you expected God to bless and He didn't, the natural response is to say, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what this is. And our typical assumption is, it must be something that I did. We say, I guess God's not blessing me because I don't deserve it. Well, I got news for you. Nobody deserves it. But God will withhold blessings sometimes to get our attention. For example, let's say your prayer life has ceased to be what it should be or ceased to be anything at all. You just don't pray at all. Folks, God wants to hear from us. Amen? Amen. So God might withhold some blessings. And I found out something. When God withholds blessings, I pray. Amen? Let's say that you have gotten into dabbling with this sin and you got this sin and you're thinking, well, it's not that big of a deal. Folks, sin's a big deal. Sin sent Christ to the cross. The wages of sin is death. Christ suffered for our sins, all of them. And so you say, well, I've got this sin in my life. I like to do this wicked thing and I'm just not going to quit. God can get your attention. So when I talk to you this morning, I want to assume a couple of things. First of all, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because if you don't, you need to get saved. And praise God, you can. We found that out Friday, didn't we, brother? A young man who's been in our school for quite a while, actually, found Christ as his Savior. You could, too. Say, I'd be embarrassed if someone found out I wasn't saved. I'd a lot rather be embarrassed than die and go to hell. And nobody here, by the way, would look down on you. They would be rejoicing that you got saved. I'm assuming that you're saved, and I'm assuming you want to be right with God. Now, wanting to be right with God is I want to please Him. I understand sometimes I fail, sometimes I'm weak, sometimes I'm overcome by temptation. And that's not an excuse, that's a fact. But I want to be right with Him. Amen. Based on those two things, with the little time I have left, let me show you Hebrews 4, and particularly verse 16. Now, don't forget verse 14, which says, we have a great high priest. Now, I like that word great. We use that word, we say great. You can just about use it that way. He's not just a high priest, he's a great high priest. Amen. He's a lot better than some man who doesn't have the authority to forgive sins, who doesn't have a sacrifice that God will accept. Jesus Christ offered Himself for our sins. He's a great high priest. He's a high priest that can be touched, it says, with the feeling of our infirmities. Let me break that down and make it real simple. He knows our weakness. He knows our temptation. He knows our frailty. He became flesh. John 1:14. He became flesh and dwelt among us. So you have, and I have, the Lord Jesus Christ as a high priest, and He knows how we feel, is basically the way to paraphrase that. Again, not an excuse to sin, but certainly good to know that He knows what we're going through. Amen? And so now, He says in verse 16, let us therefore, and I'm going to show you three things, and they're going to be pretty quick here. Let us therefore, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's a great high priest, because He's paid for our sins, because of who He is and what He can do and what He has done, let us therefore, Verse 16, come boldly unto the throne of grace. There is no other place in the Bible where that phrase, throne of grace, appears. There are some other descriptions of God's throne, but I sure like this one, throne of grace. Now, first, let's just briefly look at these words real quick. There's the word boldly. To be bold is to be fearless, to not be timid, to come with confidence. Why can we come confidently before God? Because we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can come confidently before God because I can know that my sins are all forgiven. Did you come confidently before God in prayer yet today? You can. Did you come before His throne knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're right with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, your advocate, your mediator, and you came before God this morning and you knew God would listen because Christ paid for your sins, and He says, be bold. Don't be afraid to come to that throne. Don't be afraid to talk to God. You can come before Him because in Christ you are righteous. Now listen to this. This is important. I have two sons and two daughters, and I'm so proud of them. My youngest daughter passed her nursing exam on Friday. If anybody faints, she can take care of you now, okay? No fainting allowed. I'm so proud of her. She passed her nursing exam. I was telling somebody yesterday about one of my sons, the one that happens to be here, and what a good cook he is and other thing else about him. And I'm proud of my children. If my children came to me and asked me for something, there's a real strong chance they'd get what they wanted. Because I love them. Are you God's child? Amen? He loves you. Amen? Let's just make it real simple. If the Lord Jesus Christ came before the Father and asked for something, you think He'd get it? Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. When you and I come, we're a child of God too. And when we come, we are given His righteousness as we appear before God. Our righteousness is that of Christ. So we have the same relationship and the same holiness, so we can come before God and we can ask Him for things. Amen? Amen. Boldly, not afraid, not thinking the devil's going to lie to you and tell you God's not going to listen to you. You don't deserve it. I know I don't, but Jesus does. And I'm coming in His name. Amen. We can come boldly. We're bold because of what He has done, not what we did. We're bold because He knows our infirmities and He knows our weakness and He's overcome all of that. So the throne of grace, number one, is a place that we can go with confidence, knowing some things, confidence. Secondly, the Bible says in verse 16, that we may obtain mercy. Now, that word mercy, I explained this to you a whole lot, and I've probably given this definition out over 100 times, but I still, every time I hear that word, I feel like I want to learn a little bit more about it. Because it is so much a part of God's character. Mercy is such a great part of His character. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. So I'm constantly looking that word up, and I'm constantly looking in the Bible to see how that word is used. And the word mercy, it's a tenderness of heart which causes God to, and this is Webster talking here, but it works, to overlook the ways we have injured Him. It's sort of like if you're holding a little baby, have you ever been holding a little baby puppy, a small puppy, and they bite you? And it hurts because they got the little needle teeth, you know, and they bite you, but the puppy's just playing. So I don't hurt the puppy in return because I understand something about the puppy. Or you might have had a baby and they'll grab you by the ears and squeeze real hard and you think you're going to die. But it's just a baby and you understand that they didn't really mean to hurt you like that. And so you're kind to them anyway. Folks, when we do things that hurts God and offend Him, when we sin against Him, He's kind to us in return. Wow. He says, mercy, meaning that He is willing to overlook or to treat an offender better than he deserves to be treated. I've got to agree with that, and you do too. God treats us better than we deserve. Amen? Amen? If he treated us the way we deserve to be treated, we'd be in hell right now. He's treated me better than I deserve. He's given me things I don't deserve. I so appreciate this gift today, and I can't wait to get in there and see if there's coffee with that cup or not. But I appreciate what the folks did. I don't deserve that. God has done things for you and I that we don't deserve. Amen? Amen. And how do we repay him? I hope we repay him by loving him. We should. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly, that's with confidence, under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That's compassion. And I want you to know mercy can be obtained. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh their sins shall have mercy. Exodus 34:7, God is described as one who keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You say, I have sinned against God. I have good news for you. God will forgive you. Amen. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't, but I know what Jesus did to pay for it. Amen? God is a merciful God, and we can obtain mercy. How? Read the verse. By coming to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. One more thing. And look at the end of the verse. And find grace. Let's just stop right there for a minute. Grace, God told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is made perfect in weakness. My strength is, I'm sorry. Grace is God's favor, God's goodwill, God's kindness. The devil comes to you and the devil says, oh, your situation's terrible. Look how bad your situation is. And my answer is, yeah, but look how good God is. Amen. The devil says, well, you know, tomorrow things could go terribly for you and you might have a disaster. And my answer is, tomorrow God's in control and it might be a great day. Whatever it is, it'll be the day God controls, not the day the devil controls. Amen? Yeah. The devil says, well, what's God done for you? My first answer is, well, he sent his son to die and pay for my sins. That's pretty good. How can you possibly describe that? And then look at all the other blessings he's given us. Here we are. What a blessing. There didn't have to be a church here. There didn't have to be a building or chairs or air conditioners or a piano or a baptistry or a podium or a pulpit or people. There didn't have to be any of this. This is all the goodness of God. Amen. It came from God. When you get in your car here in a few minutes and drive home, it's because God's good. When you have a home to go to, it's because God's good. When you eat food, it's because God's good. When you if you take a nap this afternoon, that's what the NFL stands for, nap following lunch. If you take a nap this afternoon, when you lay down, just remember, God's good. Amen? He says that we can find grace to help. Now, the last four words and I'm done. In time of need. Somebody says, well, if you're a Christian, you'll never have any unmet needs. You'll have needs. Amen? We have needs. We have physical needs. We have health issues. We have financial needs. We have bills to pay. We have emotional needs. We want people to love us. We want our loved ones to prosper. We care about each other, and we have needs. It's okay to have needs as long as you have a God to meet those needs. Amen? I like this verse. Matthew 6:8 says, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. We have this device in our house, and if we run out of something, like right now, I think we're about out of milk. And I can tell this device, I can say, add milk to my shopping list. Man, I'm lazy. Won't write it down. I get to the store, I pull my phone up, and it says, shopping list, milk. I know I need milk. I have a hard time keeping track of what I need sometimes. God knows every need you have. Amen. God knew you needed a Savior, amen? God knew you needed a church. God knew you needed Christian fellowship. God knew you needed a place to serve him and a place to, for folks to pray for you and for you to pray for them. And folks, God knows we're going to have times of need, but God knows how to meet those needs. Amen? And how does God meet our needs? It's in the verse. By his grace. Why aren't we having anything special today in our church in terms of this? Because we have a time of need. We need for God to sustain our church. We're praying that our church would grow so that as we want to reach this neighborhood and do more for Christ and be a solid, stable, effective church, we need to grow. Folks move away, and sometimes we wait for God to provide the replacement, and we're in that point right now. We need power from God so the souls would be saved. One of the things that breaks my heart more than anything else is when we preach a message and I know there's somebody in church who's lost and they don't get saved. And I have to be patient. Sometimes God waits a while. But folks, we want power in our church. And by the way, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. Amen. Here's the power right here. Amen. Not right here, right here. We have a time of need right now in our church. Couldn't think of a better verse in Hebrews 4:16. Since we have a time of need, but more than that, since we have the Lord Jesus Christ, let us, that's a plural, come boldly with confidence under the throne of grace where we can find compassion and grace to help in time of need. That's comfort. Amen? Let's do that today. As we finish right now, we have an invitation, and you're welcome to pray where you sit, but it would be a good thing if you came to the altar and prayed and asked the Lord to bless our church. And then don't stop there. Keep trusting God and asking God, and folks, he'll answer. Amen. Amen? If you're here today and you have any doubt about where you'll spend eternity, if you're not sure that when you die, you're going to go and be with Jesus. If you think you might go to hell or you're not sure how you can know for sure, please let us help you with that. The Holy Spirit would convict you in the same way to come and let us take a Bible and sit down with you in a quiet, private place and show you how you can know you have eternal life. If you need to get right with God, maybe you need to be a church member. Maybe you need to be an active church member. Maybe there's some sin that you have decided you need to forsake that sin. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace, and the Lord can give you the help you need. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.